morning.
Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church, Hartford, Illinois.
Enjoy your service.
Please stand and face the cross. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to all of you watching this at home. Today is a very special day. Not only is it the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, but it's also Rally Day for our Sunday school. And so we are so excited to have our Sunday school students and their teachers up here in the front of the sanctuary with us. And we are going to have a special children's message time today where we're going to get to sing some songs together. I'm really excited for that. We're also going to, after the sermon today, we're going to commission our Sunday school teachers for this upcoming year. And we'll also have a special recognition of faithful service for one of our teachers who has been doing this for a long, long time. And so before we get to all of that, though, I want to point you to page 151 in your hymnal. We will be using Divine Service Setting 1 today. And so we will begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our introit printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
And the place where your glory was.
Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. Prove me, O Lord, and try me.
Test my heart and my mind.
I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord.
Proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
And in the place where your glory dwells.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty and merciful God, defend your church from all false teaching and error, that your faithful people may confess you to be the only true God, and rejoice in your good gifts of life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 29, beginning with verse 11. The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the words of the gradual. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I would like to invite our Sunday school students to come on forward, and we're going to have a very special children's message. If you guys want to come right up here. We're going to come all the way up here today. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. How's everybody doing?
Good.
It's Rally Day! What does that mean? What does that mean, Zoe? You forgot. Does anybody know? What's Rally Day? Today's the day when we all rally together and we get excited about Sunday school starting, just like everything else is getting started in the fall, right? School's getting started, and Sunday school too. So Sunday school is this really great opportunity we have every single Sunday to come together and learn more about our amazing God, all of his love for us, especially by sending his son Jesus to be our Savior. And I remember when I was in Sunday school, I remember that I got to learn some really fun songs. And we would sing them all the time in Sunday school. So I thought for today's children's message, maybe what we could do is sing some of our favorite Sunday school songs. Does that sound good? Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. So here's what we want to do. I want everybody to stand up here, come up these steps, stand up here on this level up here. Because I'm gonna be down here kind of leading you guys. And we want everybody out here to see your smiling faces as you're singing. So one of the most important messages that we learn in Sunday school is that we have an amazing God who can do anything, right? And there's a song that I know, I think you guys know it too, that kind of talks about that. It's called, My God is So Great. You guys know that one? So, okay, I'm going to do the hand motions that I know. Maybe I'll be corrected here. But the way I learned it was, My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Right? Let's go again. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Clap, clap. Then we say, the mountains are his. What do you do for rivers? I usually do this. You do this. You can do this or this. The rivers are his. The stars are his handiwork too. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. Right? Can we do the whole thing? All right, here we go. I need to hear you singing nice and loud, okay? Ready? My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. Awesome, guys. All right, now I know another song, but for this one, you have to know how to spell, because we're going to sing I Am a C. So you have to know how to spell Christian. C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, right? And I will live eternally. L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. Let's see if we can do it. I'm going to use my guitar for this one. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I have C-H-R-I-S-E in my H-E-A-R-T. And I L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. Not too bad. Can we do it a little bit faster? I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I got C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T. And I will L-I-V-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I got C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T. And I will L-I-V-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Yeah, C-H-R-E-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-V-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. Good job. All right, one more? Can we do one more? I know which one you guys want to do. What do you want to be?
Sheep.
All right. Who really knows the hand motions really well? Ellie, do you want to come down here? Because I got my hands full with this guitar. Do you want to do the hand motions for everybody? And then that way they'll be able to see you. And if somebody doesn't remember how it goes. All right. Thanks, Ellie. Appreciate it. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. And I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. Because they're not fair, you see. Get it? What do you want to be? I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. And I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Because they're not hip with it. What do you want to be? I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. And I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I don't want to be a Sadducee. I don't want to be a Sadducee. Because they're so sad, you see. What do you want to be? I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. And I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I don't want to be from Babylon. I don't want to be from Babylon. Because they just babble on and 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 on. And on and on and on and on and on and on. What do you want to be? I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. And I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. And I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. Ba ba! Great job, you guys. All right. Well, it's going to be a really fun year, and I'm really glad you guys are all here today. So let's close with a word of prayer. If you guys would fold your hands and bow your heads and repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. And we thank you for Sunday school so that we can learn about Him every single week. Thank you for our teachers and help us to have a great year. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you all so much for coming up here today. And at this time, we're going to let them sit back with their families. Is that right? All right. So go and find your family, and we're going to all sit back there somewhere. And for the rest of us, we will continue now with our sermon hymn, which is number 566. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from Mark chapter 7. We are back now into Mark, and we're proceeding along with Jesus in his ministry all around the Sea of Galilee. And we're hearing about all these things that Jesus had done and all these people that he had met. And in this passage today, he encounters some Pharisees, some scribes who had come from Jerusalem. They heard about everything Jesus was doing, and they came to challenge Jesus on some of the things that they felt he wasn't teaching right, specifically about the traditions of the elders. And in this passage, they're really focused on the washing of hands. As Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and to us, he makes it clear that while some traditions may be good, it's about more than just what's going on outwardly. But what really matters is the transformation that takes place within all of us inwardly, in our hearts, that our lips would not be worshiping God while our hearts are far away from him. That transformation comes only by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm definitely a creature of habit. And I would venture to guess that most of us who are gathered here today would probably fall into that category too, because that's pretty much the way that God made us. You know, we tend to be the most comfortable when our lives follow a somewhat predictable, maybe repeatable pattern over time. You know, maybe for you that could be a daily routine that's very strict. Maybe you're one of those people who says you wake up at the same exact time every single day, no matter what. You know, maybe you go and you get your coffee and you drink it in the same spot every single morning, no matter what. Maybe you're the type of person where you have to eat your meals at exactly the right times. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, same time, every single day. Maybe. Or maybe it's more of a weekly routine based on what day it is, right? So today's Sunday, you got your Sunday morning routine. Thankfully, that includes being right here in worship or watching this at home online, worshiping the Lord, right? And then maybe later your Sunday routine means that you'll go out to eat. Or maybe you'll have a big Sunday dinner with your family. Or maybe you'll just have a nice relaxing Sunday afternoon nap. That sounds pretty good. Whatever it might mean for you. I've noticed for myself as a pastor that a lot of times, even though I have my routines, my daily, my weekly routines, that at any moment the phone could ring and my routine might be disturbed. You know, there might be something urgent that needs to be addressed. I might have to drop everything and go to the hospital. I mean, you just never know what might happen. So I've learned to be a little bit more flexible as the years have gone on. But I'll have to admit that I'm at my happiest and most content when things are happening when they should, when the rhythm isn't being disturbed, when Monday things happen on Monday and Wednesday things happen on Wednesday. I mean, I think you kind of get the point. Most of the time, being a creature of habit is good, right, and salutary. But I have noticed that sometimes the patterns of our lives can become so predictable and almost so automatic that at times it's like we are going through the routine, going through the motions, whereas our brain is elsewhere. It's almost like we go on autopilot. In other words, sometimes the reason why we're doing things is just because we're in the habit of doing them. And we may not even have a good reason to be doing them. It's just that's what we do. That's what we've always done. That's what we're going to always do in the future. Here's an example. So the other day, I was here in the sanctuary with Mr. John Schaff, our new school principal. And of course, because he's new in his position, he's getting used to all of his new routines, right? And so one of those routines is when we leave the sanctuary, we got to make sure that all the lights are off, we got to make sure all the doors are locked. And in order to do that, you got to know which doors to lock. You got to know where all the light switches are, right? So the other day, he was kind of following me as I was showing him what I normally do when I leave the sanctuary. And we get out into the narthex, and I do what I always do. go over to that men's room, the usher's room, turn off all the light switches in there, lock the door behind me. Well, he notices that, and so he's trying to anticipate what's next and follow suit. So I notice out of the corner of my eye, he's heading over to the women's bathroom to lock that door. And I said, oh, wait, we don't lock that door. And he turns around and he goes, why not? And that's when I realized, I have no idea. It's just what I've always done. I lock that door, I don't lock that door. I don't know why. Maybe Kurt and Kathy know why. I don't know why. For me, it's just part of my routine, right? For me, it's just what I've always done. I just lock the one door. So we all probably have some sort of experience or some sort of story that we could tell where we just caught ourselves doing something we didn't understand why we were doing it. It's just in the habit. And I think that is really what's behind this gospel text with the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7, because the Pharisees had all of these different rituals and traditions that they followed literally religiously. St. Mark is telling us in this passage that they washed everything when they ate. So they washed their hands, but he also tells us they washed their cups, they washed their pots, they washed the copper vessels, they even washed the dining couches before they ate. They washed everything. Now, what's wrong with that, right? I mean, here we are, it's 2021, we're in the middle of the pandemic, right? If COVID has taught us anything, it's that we probably should be more aware of what's clean and what's not, especially when we're going to sit down and eat together, right? But in this case, the Pharisees really weren't doing all this washing because they were concerned about hygiene, and they weren't really concerned about preventing the spread of any disease. For them, this was all about following the traditions of the elders. This is what we do because this is what our people have always done. That's basically the attitude that they had toward it. All of this really stems back from the Old Testament, going all the way back to the book of Exodus, when God had commanded the priests of Israel to wash themselves, to purify themselves whenever they were about to offer a sacrifice to the Lord at his altar. That was the idea. But over time, the teachings kind of morphed and changed, and extra things were added on top of God's commands. And so it wasn't any longer the priests that were doing it. Everyone was doing it. And it wasn't just when they were offering sacrifices. It was literally at every single meal, everyone had to wash everything. And they were obsessed with the washing. So much washing was going on all the time. But it was just a habit. It was an empty tradition that didn't really have a lot of meaning attached to it, or at least by then, the meaning behind it had completely changed from what was originally given to the people. And so, once again, here in Mark chapter 7, we've got a problem. Because once again, Jesus and his disciples are not doing what people would expect that good Jewish people should be doing. They weren't washing their hands before every meal. What kind of statement are they trying to make? What kind of radical was Jesus to allow them to sit there and eat without washing their hands first? Of course, we know the answers to those questions. Jesus' teachings in his day were considered to be radical and controversial by some, but it's not because Jesus was just trying to rile people up for no reason. He was considered controversial because ultimately, God's idea and concept of faithfulness is so different from man's concept and understanding of faithfulness. That's really what it comes down to. The Pharisees are making a big stink about hand washing, but that's not the heart of the matter. What this is really about is, what does it take for a person to be considered holy and righteous in the eyes of God? And Jesus shows us pretty clearly in this passage, in the way that he responds to these Pharisees, that it doesn't matter how good we might think a particular habit or even a worship practice or ritual might be. It's absolutely pointless if what's on the inside doesn't match what's on the outside. If, as he says here, if our lips are worshiping God externally while our hearts are far away from him. And Jesus actually then brings up a really interesting point about another one of the Pharisees' laws. So toward the end of the passage, he brings up this law of Korban. And just to kind of long story short, the law of Korban meant that at any time, the Pharisees were encouraging people to dedicate everything that they had to God. And what that meant practically was all of their material possessions would be used for worship, for the synagogue, for the Pharisees themselves. So you can see why they promoted this so much. They wanted people to dedicate all of their material possessions to the Lord so that they could use everybody else's stuff. But Jesus points out, hey, you've got a commandment that Moses brought to you, the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. And in those days, there was no Social Security. So when you had parents who were aging and couldn't work to provide for themselves, they relied upon their children to provide for them. And if you Pharisees aren't going to allow the people to provide for their own parents because of this law of Korban, we've got a big problem here. You are putting your own traditions ahead of God's word. It's obviously a good thing to dedicate everything that we have to the Lord, but not if it comes at the expense of the fourth commandment, not if it comes at the expense of your parents, right? Just like I would say, it's obviously really good to wash your hands before supper. My kids are listening to the sermon. They're going to quote it back to me later, right? So I got to be careful here. It's obviously a good thing. But the point isn't whether you wash or don't wash. The point is that God isn't going to love you more or less based on how well you wash or how often you wash. And of course, we understand these things in our own day, and we understand them even in our own congregation, because Trinity Hoyleton has been here for 154 years. And so that means that there are a number of traditions here. We have a certain way that we worship, and we have certain hymns that we sing, and a certain hymnal that we use, and a certain organ that we play. We have certain liturgies that we follow, right? And we're comforted by that routine. We're comforted by the predictability that comes with that, because like I said, we are creatures of habit, and that's probably the understatement of the year when it comes to Lutherans, right? We are creatures of habit. Some of you probably right now are sitting in the same pew your family has sat in for generations. But you know what? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I know that there are Christians out there who like to look down their nose at us Lutherans and they say that we're just wrapped up in all of these dead and meaningless rituals and traditions. I would actually say that that kind of predictability, that regular worship, the faith that we gain from that is oftentimes a whole lot deeper, because it's something that goes into your long-term memory. And I've seen personally where people who are struggling with dementia toward the end of their life, they're able to recall things from their childhood because they had such a repetitive habit of worshiping earlier in their life. So I would say it's absolutely a good thing. We have rituals and traditions. Rituals and traditions can be good, but they're not the main thing. The main thing is that our hearts and our very lives are transformed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we don't start there, then anything that we do here at church or at home or anywhere that we go would be meaningless at best, or maybe even sinful at worst. We're creatures of habit. We can acknowledge that sometimes that means we are creatures of bad habits or meaningless habits. We don't want to be like the Pharisees, so we want to avoid that. But the answer to that, the solution, is not to obsessively research the history and the meaning behind every single thing that we do in order to make sure that we have perfectly righteous motives for every single habit that we have. Because let me save you some time, we're never going to get there on this side of heaven. But being a creature of habit means that first and foremost, you are a creature. It means God has created you. You are a creature that God loves. In fact, he cared about you so much that he didn't leave you all by yourself to try to overcome your sin on your own. He had better plans for each and every one of you. He brought you to faith in his son, Jesus Christ. He led you to the waters of holy baptism where you were washed and restored, where your sinful life has been completely regenerated and renewed into something so much better. So because of that, your bad habits, every single one of them, is forgiven by God and forgotten. And instead, your life as a creature, as God's creature of habit, leads you into new and greater habits, like coming to worship, like being here with your brothers and sisters in Christ, like, for all of you Sunday school students, coming to Sunday school week after week, singing, learning, playing, understanding more and more about God's love for you, all of us coming together, receiving the word and the sacrament, all of us then having good works, a habit of good works that flow from us, not because we're so great, but because of what God is doing within us, regenerating us, renewing us, so that our neighbors all around us can be blessed by those good works too. Because of Jesus Christ, because of his perfect life and death and resurrection, we no longer live in a world where our hearts are far away from God, because Jesus is the one who has bridged that gap for us. So now our praise and our thanksgiving and our songs and our prayers honor God, worship him with both our lips and our hearts. The Holy Spirit is here among us. He's alive. He's within all of you. He's helping us to worship the Lord even as I speak to you right now. Those are good, good habits that God has given to us. So we don't need to be afraid to be a creature of habit, because it's not a bad thing. We come to Christ with our prayer and our praise. We worship him with our lips, but more importantly, we worship him with our entire lives. And we show God's love with everything we say and do, because it's that kind of habit, it's that kind of daily routine that will be a blessing not just to us, but to the entire world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. This time we will confess our faith, and in order to do so, we will use the words of the Apostles' Creed, which are found in the hymnal on page 159. We confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to have an opportunity to commission all of our Sunday school teachers for this upcoming year of service. And so at this time, I would like to invite all of those Sunday school teachers to come and join me up here. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are to be commissioned as the Sunday school teachers here for the 2021-2022 year at Trinity Lutheran Church, a work in which our Father in heaven has great joy. Hear the word of the Lord from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Beloved in the Lord, you are to assist me, the minister of Word and Sacrament, in the instruction of God's people according to His holy word. You are to prepare yourselves for this work by your individual and corporate study of the Word of God and the faith drawn from it as it has been delivered to us in the Small Catechism. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to Him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the position entrusted to you? And do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to His word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. And to the congregation, beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that He may be glorified and His work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I commission you as Sunday school teachers here at Trinity Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your service, that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers to the glory of His name and the salvation of His people. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, grant to these, your people, the gifts of wisdom and discretion, kindness and faithfulness, so that they may effectively teach and guide, and grant to all your people a ready willingness to learn. Let the knowledge of your word be preserved and extended among us, so that all may know praise, may know and praise you now and forever, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. You may return to your seats. Is Dawn cast in here by chance? No? I didn't think I saw her. I wanted to take a moment to also recognize, there's a blurb in the bulletin about this as well, that Dawn Kasten had been serving as a Sunday school teacher for almost 15 years, and that is really an amazing blessing to this congregation. She's no longer going to be doing it going forward, and so we did want to take a moment to just, let's give thanks to God for the service of Dawn over these last almost 15 years. We'll continue our service now with the prayer of the church, and there are a number of additions and announcements that I have for you today. We have been praying for Orville Obermeyer, and we are very pleased to say that those prayers have been heard by our Lord. Orville underwent what turned out to be a quadruple bypass this week. It was successful. He is recovering in the hospital and should be home later this week. Thanks be to God. We also have an update on Larry Sockleben, that's Kathy Unverford's brother. He had one heart valve replaced and another repaired, and he's doing well and is also now recovering. We will also be adding today Andrew Becker. That is one of the Eichmeyer's farmhands. He was in a bad accident, skid steer accident this week, but he had successful surgery on his leg and should be home later this week, thanks be to God. We're also lifting up in prayer Tim Schnicker. He is undergoing some medical testing, and so we're praying for good results this week. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are known, grant us a true faith that we would honor you not only with our lips, but serve you faithfully with all of our heart, mind, and strength. Give joy and hope to all your children in remembrance of their baptism, that they may rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that Christ freely pours out in this saving flood. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, preserve us from rejecting your commandments for the doctrines of men. By your Spirit's aid, lead all Christians to keep your commandments in thought, word, and deed, honoring you in all that we do. Bless the efforts of those who preach and teach your law and your gospel in churches and ministries around the world, especially be with our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and our sister congregation, Messiah Lutheran in Carlisle, and their pastor, Scott Shilby. We also ask you, Lord, on this rally day to bless our Sunday school ministry. Be with our students and our adult volunteers as we praise your name together and learn more about your love week after week. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers for our nation and its leaders, for all civil servants, and for those whose work imperils them for the sake of their neighbor. We also ask you, Lord, to be with all those who are facing the effects of current unrest and upheaval that is taking place in Afghanistan. Preserve the lives of our fellow Christians who are living there and now be facing new persecution. We pray for our enemies there as well, that they would repent of their evil and turn. Bless the efforts of our nation's military, and especially be with those who are connected to this congregation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, we continue to praise you for the many gifts that you grant to us in this life. We thank you for the rain that you sent to water the earth yesterday. If it be your will, continue to provide favorable weather for all of us. We also rejoice with those who rejoice, especially those who are celebrating birthdays this week. Sarah, Abigail, Larry, and Amber. And Lord, we ask you to preserve your estate of marriage. Grant that husbands and wives would live in mutual submission to one another, and that their marriages may be a reflection of the love you have for your people. Bless those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Justin and Stephanie Schnicker. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, encourage with your word and grace all who suffer physically, emotionally, and spiritually on account of illness. We lift before you those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities: Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Francis, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you all those who are recovering from recent surgeries, including Orville, Larry, and Andrew. We lift Tim before your throne, and we pray for good test results this week. We also lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns: Roy, Marvin, Lorna, Amy, Ray, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Linda, Marvin, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, all those who are fighting cancer. Bless all medical professionals with the skills necessary to give relief and care to their pain where possible. We also lift before you all those who are mourning the passing of loved ones. We continue to pray for the families and friends of both Laura Hake and Zachary Brinkman. Comfort them with hope in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We sing together the offertory, which begins on the bottom of page 159. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, number 575. Good morning. Not too many announcements for you today. Just wanted to highlight a few things. So along with today being Rally Day, we're also excited that today we get to relaunch Club 58. So there is Youth Night planned for both middle school and high school students tonight. Very excited about that. That will all be taking place at 6 o'clock this evening. So let the students, the youth in your life, know about it if they don't know already. We'd love to see them there. I'm still looking for people who would like to join our new members class. We're going to be starting that up in mid-September. In fact, that's one of my tasks this week, is to nail down exactly what time those classes will be. But I think we already have about 7 or 8 people that have said that they want to join the class and join the congregation. If you or somebody else that you know falls into that category, please let me know about that, and we'll get that set up. We're really excited about being able to offer that class. Like I said, it'll start in mid-September and hopefully go until the end of October. And one other thing I wanted to mention is that we currently, the Trinity Lutheran School PTL, has a fundraiser going on. We are selling mums, and last year it was a very successful fundraiser. The mums were beautiful. They're grown by the Country Kids down just south of town. There's also some other items for sale that are more geared toward winter decorations and things. But the mums are $9. I don't know all the other prices. But if you would like to order one, please find one of our students. They're all selling them, or you can let us know in the church and school office about that. But please consider supporting the school in that way. And just to let you know, next Sunday, my family and I are heading to Seymour, Indiana. We're going to be taking our kids to a family weekend at Camp Lakeview, which is a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod camp ministry out there in Seymour. My wife Katie used to work there in the summers years ago. And so we're going out there next weekend. I won't be gone during the week, just over the weekend. And so next Sunday, Pastor Perry Schaffelker is coming back, and he'll be leading us in worship. He'll also be leading the Bible class at 8:30 in the morning next Sunday. Any other announcements? Okay, if not, have a great rest of your day. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed week.